The reading is taken from Luke 24, verses 13 through 25. Today's theme builds upon the resurrection as Jesus journeys to Emmaus. That very day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking and discussing together. Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all of this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'Oh, foolish ones, slow to heart to believe that the prophets have what the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the thing concerning himself. So as they drew near to the village to which they were going, he acted as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, saying, 'For it is towards evening, and the day is far spent.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened us to the scriptures?' And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. 'Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed.' Yes, Christ is risen. It is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Grace and peace be to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We got to get used to that. Let's try that again. Christ is risen. Yes, Christ is risen. Hallelujah. Please be seated. Our Easter sermon series is entitled Built Upon Easter. Each week we will build upon that great good news that Jesus Christ is risen today. Today we build upon the resurrection. As we focus on that first appearance in Luke's gospel following the resurrection, as Jesus appears to those two disciples who are on their way to the village of Emmaus. It's a great story. It starts out with two disciples, two followers of Jesus. We know that one of them is named Cleopas. The text tells us that. The other one's not named. So who were they exactly? Well, they were not part of the 12, now 11 apostles, but they were disciples. They were followers of Jesus. Perhaps they were part of the 72 that were sent out two by two by Jesus earlier in Luke chapter 10, when Jesus sent them out to heal the sick and proclaim that the kingdom of God was at hand. They They would have been in town this week, this holy week for Passover. It was a great big festival, a big thing. But now it was Sunday, the first day of the week. The Sabbath was over. And so they were on their way back home. They went to get back with families, to go back to their jobs, to continue on with their lives. But something had happened while they were in Jerusalem. It wasn't your normal, everyday, ordinary, yearly Passover festival. The whole world had been turned upside down at that particular Passover. And that's what they were talking about as they were making their way back home. The text tells us it was approximately 7 miles. Now, I don't know about you or even myself anymore, but a person in fairly good shape and doing a brisk walk could walk 7 miles in probably 2.5 hours at the most. Not these guys. And it wasn't because they were out of shape. It's because they were talking. They were fussing and discussing while they were walking back home, and they were not in a rush. They were taking their time. They had a lot of window time, if you know what I mean, right? Our lives are a lot about seeing. We talk about seeing opportunities, seeing a way forward. We train ourselves to see in certain ways, to see a potential in an empty canvas or on a blank page or in the raw ingredients of a meal. Athletes train to see the trajectory of a fastball or an opening in a pass coverage. Once you've learned to see the world in a certain way, it's hard to see things in a different way. And that's what happened here for these disciples, for all the followers of Jesus. Their whole worldview had been upended. The way that they saw things had changed. You see, they expected Jesus was to be the one to redeem Israel. He wasn't supposed to die. But at the Passover festival, that's exactly what happened. Jesus had been arrested, put on trial, mocked and scourged and beaten, crucified on a cross. And now they heard rumors from some of the women who went out early on this morning to go to the tomb to pay their respects, but they found it empty. His body was gone. The women had seen a vision of angels who reported that Jesus was alive again. And these guys were deep in this conversation about all these things when a total stranger came up from behind them and joined them in their journey. This is the part of the story where it gets really interesting. Most of us know the saying, beware of strangers. And we were probably taught that by our parents, or we taught it to our children, or we are teaching it to our grandchildren. And it's good to be cautious, no doubt, especially in our day and time. But of course, the stranger in the story is no stranger. We know who he is. And yet in each of the post-resurrection appearances, Jesus' appearance is made in such a way that fits that particular time and place and the people who are concerned. In this story, he appears all of a sudden on this road leading to this village of Emmaus. And he catches up to these pair of travelers as they are locked heavy in this discussion between themselves. The thing is that Jesus is unrecognizable to them. Maybe that seems a bit odd to us. Here are two people who obviously spent some time with Jesus while he was here on this earth, and they ought to be able to recognize him. Mark's gospel records it this way in chapter 16, verse 12. After these things, he appeared in another form to two of them as they were walking into the country. So if you look at most of those post-resurrection appearances, Jesus is unrecognizable until he reveals himself in a particular way. Here, of course, in the breaking of the bread, to Mary in the garden as he calls her by name, in the closed room with the disciples behind those locked doors as he appears and says, "Peace be with you." It's purposeful. Jesus is building upon the resurrection for his followers. To us, that question that Jesus asked may seem obvious. What's going on with the events that are happening here? And what are you two guys talking about? Obviously, he knew. But he wanted them, he put the question in such a way that he wanted them to restate the events of what had happened. That they could share the events of Jesus' suffering and death to clearly state that. But their first reaction is priceless, right? It stops them in their tracks. They're thinking, duh, where have you been? Are you the only person in Jerusalem who's been here this whole week and you don't know what's happened? This is headline news. What rock have you been hiding under? But Jesus doesn't let their anxiety or their fear or their wonder sidetrack him. In perfect calmness, Jesus directs the question again to ensure the desired answer. Again, his purpose is very direct here. He wants them to share the main facts of all that's taken place. Why? Because this is the story that they will share again and again and again and again. And he wants them to have it down pat. If you or I were to tell the story of Jesus to someone who's never heard, what would you say? Have you ever thought about that? I think we start with the basics, that Jesus suffered, died, and rose again so that we might be saved. And those disciples didn't have the whole story figured out yet, but Jesus would fill in the rest of the story about the resurrection part as he revealed himself to them. Well, you and I know the story. But how do we know the story? Because someone told it to us. Yeah, you may say, I read it in the Gospels. And yes, we read the Gospels. But before you could read, who told you the story? Was it your mom? Your dad? Was it a Sunday school teacher or a pastor? Was it your oma or your opa? Someone shared the story with you for the first time when you heard it with your own ears. In the business world, we call this the elevator speech. Think of it this way. You're in an elevator with someone. You punch the button. The door closes, and you have got a minute or less to get your point across before that door opens again and you maybe never see that person again. In the business world, of course, you want to sell your product if you've got a product to sell. So you got to give them that elevator speech. But as Christians, we also have something to share, do we not? Something very valuable, something very precious. We can tell the good news of Jesus, that he came to save us. So where do I start, Pastor? Where is my elevator speech? Well, I think the best place to start is the Bible. And what better place than that most famous verse that most people can quote? John 3:16, there's your elevator speech. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Luther called that the gospel in a nutshell. Everything you need to know in that one verse. A more modern version that might preach better on the streets today can be found in the Message version. So listen to how it says it. Same words, just in a different way. This is how much God loved the world. He gave his Son, his one and only Son, and this is why. So that no one need be destroyed. By believing in him, anyone can have a whole and lasting life. God didn't go to all the trouble of sending his Son merely to point an accusing finger, telling the world how bad it was. He came to help, to put the world right again. Either one of those would work as an elevator speech in your conversation that you might have just a minute or two to share with someone in your journey through life. We all have a starting place, do we not? And once that person's interested, once we hook them into that message, then we can share more. Or we can point them to someone who can share more. It's what Jesus did, right? This is my favorite part of the story, verse 27. Beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Jesus opened the scriptures and without the book, because he was the book, right? He wrote the book. He lived the book. And he interpreted it. He taught them everything the Bible had to say about him. Wow. This is one of those things where, you know, if you could be anywhere, anytime, any place in history with some person, who would that be? This is my spot right here. I want to be there with Jesus teaching me the scriptures, everything that points to him. Wouldn't that be awesome? Oh, I love it. The sad part, though, is that while Jesus is pouring out all this information to them, they still don't recognize him. Yes, he opened their mind to the scriptures. Mark 1:22 says it best. They were astonished at his teaching, for he taught as one who had authority and not as the scribes. But they still didn't put two and two together. It's like the two-year-old boy who's given a bath by his father, and the water and the soap gets in his eyes, so he closes his eyes tight. And he said, "Daddy, you turn out the lights. Turn the light on." The father kind of laughed as he wiped the soap and the water from the boy's face and said, "Son, no one turned out the lights. You closed your eyes. Open your eyes and see the light." Well, it wasn't until they came to that house, their own home, in that tiny little village of Emmaus, they invited this stranger in for the rest of the evening to dine with them, to stay with them, and that's where the revelation took place. I can see the picture so clearly. Jesus sits down at the head of the table. When the food is brought, he takes the bread, he blesses it, he breaks it, and says, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you." In that very moment, their eyes were opened. They recognized Jesus, and then he vanished. What a holy moment. What an eye opener. The power of Easter is not just a one-shot deal. It's an everyday deal as we follow the Lord and allow the Lord to open our hearts and open our minds, and thus our hearts and souls, to the love and the grace of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then it's not just about keeping it to ourselves and enjoying it for ourselves. You see, there's a world out there, a world that's hurting, a world that needs to know that there's a Savior, a world that needs to know that Jesus suffered, died, and rose again for them. And if we don't tell them this, then who else is going to do that? Christ is risen. Yes, Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Amen.